And if you're staying behind, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 22. So I hope you've been sort of jotting things through as the Spirit has whispered to your heart, you know, some of these images of Christ, these portraits of his character and who he is. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we're thankful. We are so thankful for who you are. And we're so thankful that you have preserved your word down through the centuries, down through the millennia, so that we might read of you and know you. But we're most thankful of all for Jesus Christ, who truly reveals your heart, Father. And now as we look into your word and just see some more about Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that you take these written words and make them living words in us. Open up the eyes of our hearts. Open up the ears of our spirit. Teach us who Jesus is. Remind us. Speak to us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. So I love part of the passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at today. If I pray with you ever, oftentimes you'll find that these words sort of leak into my prayers a little bit and sort of bubble up because of what it says about Jesus. This portion of Scripture is one of those that could go on Rose trails. You know, she put it down there. You know how she has all those favorite Scriptures. Well, this is one of mine as we get into it. It's found in chapter 12, verses 15 and following. Let's read it. Aware of this, you remember from last week that verse 14 talks about how the Pharisees were plotting to kill Jesus. And so it says, aware of this, or knowing about that plot, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations, not just Israel, but all of the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the street. And here we go. Listen to this. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their trust. It's a great passage of Scripture. It opens up in the sort of the preliminary part there before he gets into this quotation of Isaiah about how Jesus is avoiding battle. He understood that the Pharisees were out to get him. And so what does he do? He doesn't stand up yet. The time is not yet right for the face-to-face confrontation. And so he leaves that place. But he doesn't stop his ministry of mercy that we talked about last week. He carries on pouring out the mercy on the Father, healing people. But he tells them, don't tell anybody. Well, why does he do that? I'll tell you why. He does that because he doesn't want to provoke his enemies any further. Because he doesn't want to escalate the conflict. He wants to pour out the mercy of God, but to do it in such a way that things won't get too hot, that he can't complete his healing ministry before he goes onto the cross. You see, the Pharisees were out to kill him. And the heart of their problem was that they thought there's no way that Jesus could be the Messiah. There's no way that this Savior that the Father is going to send to deliver Israel can look anything like that guy. There's no way that this Sabbath-breaking, leadership-opposing, friend of Rome could possibly be the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come and he's going to kill the Romans. He's going to throw them off. He's going to keep all the law perfectly and keep the Sabbath. He's going to respond to the leadership. This cannot possibly be the Messiah. And what Matthew's doing is he's saying, you know what? This may not be the aggressive, militaristic, nationalistic Messiah that you were expecting, but he is the Messiah that your Father always intended to send. And to prove that, he reaches back into their history and he goes to the prophet Isaiah and one of what's called the servant songs. This one's found in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 4. This ancient song that we understand describes who the Messiah was going to be, the character of the Messiah. And it starts off by saying, He is the Messiah because He's the one in whom I delight. And those words, of course, we think back to Jesus' baptism, right? When Jesus went down into the watery grave at the hands of John the Baptist, and He came out of the water, and what did the voice from heaven say? This is my Son, in whom I take great pleasure, in whom I delight, in whom I'm starting to send out on my public ministry. And Matthew is saying, you know, this is the Messiah that's continuing on this ministry of the Father that He began back in his baptism. He said, I'm going to put my Spirit upon Him. I'm going to empower Him. This is important for when we get to the next passage where they say that Jesus only did the things He did by the power of Satan. He said He's not going to quarrel. When they plot to kill Him, He's going to leave that place. And He's going to tell people, don't provoke them. Don't go around sharing the news. Don't shout from the rooftop. Don't do it. He will not cry out. You know, there's a saying, those who shout the loudest get obeyed the soonest. It's loud, boisterous, commanding. Not with Jesus. Not with Jesus. And then comes the part I love. A bruised reed, or a bent reed, depending on your translation. A bruised reed I will not break. A smoldering wick I will not snuff out. Just think about that for a moment. Here is God Almighty come to earth to conquer evil and dispel darkness. He's the God who breathes stars into being. He's the God who whispers and mountains will shatter. He's the one who by His powerful word sustains all of the universe. He's one that will look and the courses of the hearts of kings and princes and governments will change. And yet this God comes with this incredible, gentle mercy. A bruised reed He will not break. You see, we get bruised and we get bent, don't we? Life does stuff to us. People do stuff to us. It bruises us up. Damages us. Thursday night, Sheen and I were out walking out at the camp along the trails with our dog, Callie. And as we're going along this trail, there's one tree and it's arched like a rainbow over the path. And Sheena says, look at that, Alan. It's like people, you know. It's true, God gives us strength to carry on and to make it through the day. But a lot of people are bent over with the burdens of life and the heartache of dreams crushed, relationships broken, bent over. People get bent. People get bruised. And the thing is about bent reeds, when violence gets done to us and they get bent, you know what they used to use reeds for a lot in Christ's day? They use it like a measuring stick. So many reeds. Well, a bent reed is no good for measuring, right? Because it's bent. So they'd break them and burn them up. And very often, that's how we sometimes feel, and that's how the world, and sometimes, in honesty, us act. When someone gets bruised up, when someone gets bent up, we look and we sort of say, well, you know, not much use to the world. Not much use for getting the job done. May as well just break it and cast it aside. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't break the reed. Jesus doesn't cast you aside. And the thing about being bent, being bruised, being disfigured, is that sometimes those folks are hard to take. I remember early on in ministry, a guy said to me, it's a cliche and you've all heard it before, but it's been important to me as we've got to walk with people, and it's this saying, hurting people hurt people. It's true, isn't it? when we get bruised up, when we find people who are really, really bruised up, who are bent over by the weight of whatever it is that's happened in their life, whatever it is that's happened to them by other people, by the church, or they maybe even feel from God, whatever it is, it's very easy for those folks to hurt other people, to lash out, to strike out, to respond and react in weird ways, to cut us off when we extend our hand, all of these different things. And it's easy to just sort of say, well, I don't need that. Nice you, but you bite my hand. No, thank you. I won't have any more of that. And it's easy to cut folks like that out of our lives. And it's easy if you're that person to be cut out of the lives of people. And Jesus doesn't do that. A bruised reed that's hurting, that hurts others, no matter how often we bite God, he doesn't bite us back. A smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. You get the picture of here's this flame, and the flame's burning bright and shiny. It's giving light to other people, and maybe it's giving glory to God, and it's allowing other people to live more fully and so on. And then all of a sudden, a wind comes up, a heavy wind, and that light, that flame begins to flicker a little bit, and you're just not sure if the winds of life is going to blow that flame out or not. And sometimes people get in that spot where it feels like, or maybe it even is, that all of the forces of life tend to be against you. And all of a sudden, this flame that you have of your life, you're just not sure you're going to keep a flame. You're just not sure you're going to be able to keep burning because of the stuff, these external winds that are blowing against you. When we read and pray for some of the things that you guys put in the black books, they're gale force winds, kids who are dying, young mums with cancer, people who are lost, gale winds that just feel like it's going to cause my heart to flicker, and I'm not sure, and I begin to smolder a little bit because the forces are about ready to blow me out. Or maybe it's not some external forces. Maybe you're just out of fuel. Maybe you're just out of physical energy or emotional oomph or spiritual vigor. And you've been going hard and you've been going long and it just feels now like you just can't do it. You just don't have anything left to give. Not to God, not to people you love, not even to yourself. And you begin to smolder. And the thing is, a smoldering wick doesn't work very well, does it? It doesn't give off light. It doesn't draw people to them. It doesn't help people get along with their life. As a matter of fact, it puts off a whole bunch of smoke. And it makes things more difficult to see. And it makes things kind of difficult for people that are around that smoldering wick to breathe deeply. It's hard to get the oxygen, and we feel maybe a little bit like we're being suffocated because of the stuff, the noxious stuff that people who are smoldering are putting off. And maybe even it smells a little bit and the stench of life gets a little bit tough and we just kind of want to push away that smoldering wick. We want to snuff it out. We want to end it. We want to call it quits. Because they're going to die anyhow. And it's wrecking my vision and my lungs. So I'm out. But Jesus says, a smoldering wick. And we all get there in some ways. A smoldering wick. I will not snuff out. It's this great picture for me. This portrait of a God who is all-powerful and yet is so gentle and kind and merciful and patient. I love this passage of Scripture. Hey, if you were at the Passover supper, you remember that there's a portion of the Passover where they sort of tell the history of Israel, and they start off by saying, it would have been enough if God would have created us in the garden. It would have been enough if they'd taken Abraham. It would have been enough if they'd brought us through the Red Sea. Remember all those, that whole thing? It would have been enough if they gave us the law. And you know what? For me, this whole passage right here, it would have been enough to think about this God of compassion who is all gracious and yet will not break a bruised reed, will not snuff out a smoldering wick. It would have been enough, but it wasn't until this week, to be honest with you, even though I've read this passage I don't know how many thousands of times, it didn't really sink into my heart the last part of this sentence. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. till he has brought justice through to victory. It's not just the compassion of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the patience of Christ. What this passage is talking about is bringing people from brokenness to victory. And I know that sometimes it takes a whole lot longer than I advise God it should take. But this promises here that someday, this justice will reign, and these gale force winds that have been coming over you and this bending you over, God is going to come in and he's going to shield through from that wind and he's going to straighten you out. And someday, even though you've been flickering and even though you may be out of fuel and maybe though, even though it just feels like you're going to go out, God is going to come in one day and he's going to shield you from the wind and he's going to pour oil into your lamp till you burn brightly again. The bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out until he has brought justice through to victory. It'll be okay. The bruised reed, it'll be healed. The bent tree, it'll be straightened. The ill winds, they will be blocked. The exhausted hearts will be refueled with hope and with joy. I love this passage. I love this Jesus. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will never snuff out. Until he brings justice through to victory. Let's pray. Almighty God, we all have times when we're bruised and bent. We all have times when we are smoldering and not aflame. We all have times when we get frustrated with the bruised people around us who strike out at us. We get frustrated with the smoldering wicks that clog our vision and smell. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, that you will never break and snuff. And I pray that you'd make us more like you, that we too would never break the broken reed or snuff out the smoldering wick, but that we would be your instruments in bringing justice through to victory. Father, we pray for those amongst us and those connected to us who are bruised and bent. And we pray for those amongst us and those we know who are smoldering wicks and are not sure if the flame's going to stay alight. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd minister deeply to them. For the sake of Christ. Amen.
Please stand with us. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.